And the fact that I can't ask for help, I'm the helper.
Welcome to NPD Soundbites from ANPD, the Association for Nursing Professional Development.
This is the NPD Forecast. Your hosts, Jen Bodine and Jillian Russell, are nursing professional development specialists with years of dynamic NPD experience. Jen and Jill round out ANPD's Nursing Professional Development Practice Team and are your personal environmental scanning forecasters. This podcast series features topics that are relevant to the forecasting of future trends for NPD practice and discusses implications that you can apply to your daily practice. Welcome everyone to the NPD Forecast. I'm Jillian Russell.
And I'm Jen Bodine. Today we're going to explore clinician burnout and the implications this has on NPD practitioners. I'm sure it's not going to come as any surprise that the last year has had a negative impact on healthcare professionals. However, alarming statistics regarding clinician burnout have surfaced over the last several months. It's our responsibility as NPD practitioners to dialogue about our role in supporting healthcare professionals. We have to investigate potential strategies for combating clinician burnout and promoting the well-being of nurses and all healthcare personnel. So, Jillian, the American Nurses Foundation, which is the philanthropic arm of the American Nurses Association, gave a pulse on the nation's nurses, a COVID-19 survey series, and over 12,000 U.S. respondents answered in December 2020. And as I was looking at these statistics, I'm going to say I was flabbergasted. Shocking. And now I knew there was something going on, but I had no idea to this extreme. And I just kind of want to share some of these numbers with our listeners today, just to kind of give them a feel for what's going on across the nation and what I have to assume is probably around the world. So in this survey, they found 72% of the respondents reported themselves as exhausted. 64% reported themselves as overwhelmed. 67% reported difficulty sleeping or sleeping too much, which are definite signs of depression. 52% stated that work was negatively impacting their health and well-being. And on a scale of 1 to 5, they felt that their employer valued their mental health only at a 3.1. And 4 in 10 nurses under the age of 34, so our newer nurses, reported feeling isolated, lonely, or depressed. Now, Shafla et al., their 2021 article showed that nurses were significantly associated with suicide by opioids compared to non-nurses. Again, another number that 44.6% of nurses versus 11.8% of non-nurses. However, nurses demonstrate high rates of substance use across all drug classes, which would also include benzos, stimulants, and sedatives. Now, I want to read a quote from this article because I think it resonated with me. In addition to substance use issues, occupational hazards may lead to a higher proportion of nurses experiencing negative mental health outcomes. The unique acculturation of nurses to a workplace environment that discourages open discussion of moral distress, yet encourages casual overuse of substances as acceptable coping mechanisms, may also lead to the normalization of increasingly risky substance use patterns. Unique relationships between substance use, mental health diagnosis, and suicide exist among nurses who complete suicide when compared to their non-nurse counterparts. I found that scary because I think of how many times when I worked in the ER and I had a bad night, at the end of the shift, I would say to my coworkers, I need a beer. Let's go out and go get some drinks. And that sounds totally normal, like a totally normal part of our culture. But that was a coping mechanism. And I wouldn't say it was a healthy coping mechanism because that one beer might have led to 2 to 3, depending on how the shift went. So that really, really resonated with me. Nurses who experience multiple issues such as affective disorders, substance abuse, and suicidal ideation place them at extremely high risk of death by suicide. And Davidson et al. 2020 noted that nurses are at higher risk of suicide than either gender or occupation matched populations. She reported that nurses are killing themselves on account of being moved out of their positions due to pain, undertreated mental health issues, and being worked up for substance use disorders.
Gosh, Jen, you know, we've looked at this data a couple of times now, and I think that visceral reaction is still the same. The goosebumps, the almost that in the pit of your stomach feeling of what can we do? How, what kind of impact can we have as NPD practitioners? Where is our role? What is our role? And how can I take steps in the direction to preserve the mental health and well-being of not just nurses, but all of the staff that we support? So specifically, as we begin to have this conversation with our guests, who we are so excited to introduce, and we'll get to that here shortly, listeners. So hold on tight. But I really want for all of you who are listening and are familiar with the NPD practice model and identifying what our responsibilities are as NPD practitioners, think of the impact you can have as it directly relates to those responsibilities. So in terms of onboarding and orientation, role development, and think of those touch points within role development, within your nurse residency program, preceptorship, coaching and mentoring, and then the other responsibilities of education, collaborative partnerships, research, evidence-based practice and quality improvement, and then finally competency management, supporting, elevating, creating awareness, mitigating issues related to mental health and well-being. They all have a place within those responsibilities. So I challenge you to reflect on where that role, where that impact may lie for you personally within your organizational structure. So with that framework really set in your minds, as we start to have some conversation with our guests, I'd like to introduce Tabitha Kinlaw. Tabitha currently serves as a nursing professional development specialist, as well as the primary nurse planner and administrator of the approved provider unit and RN residency director at First Health Moore Regional Hospital, located in Pinehurst, North Carolina. Her 29 years of experience in healthcare include various roles across a wide breadth of nursing services. With her clinical focus being perioperative nursing, Tabitha has been certified as a CNOR since 1995, serving as a staff nurse, team lead, charge nurse, educator, clinical coordinator, and department head for surgical services. Tabitha earned a BSN from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, where she was inducted into Sigma Theta Tau International Alpha Alpha chapter, and an MSN with a concentration in nursing education from East Carolina University. Not only is she a member of the Association of Perioperative Nurses, AORN, the National Association of Orthopedic Nurses, NAON, and the American Nurses Association, North Carolina Nurses Association, and last but not least, ANPD, and she is our chair of the Products and Services Committee. Tabitha currently serves as a member on the Competency and Credentialing Institute's Board of Directors, where she serves on various subcommittees as well as board president. She also serves as an ex officio member of the ONCB Board of Directors Exam Prep Committee Chair. Additionally, she serves as an appraiser for the American Nurses Credentialing Center's Practice Transition Accreditation Program, PTAP, and has most recently co-authored the Orthopedic Surgery Manual 3rd edition to be released by NAON in spring of 2021, and the Nursing Professional Development Quick Reference Guide entitled Succession Planning, recently published by ANPD. She also co-presented Roadmap to Recertification at the 2019 AORN Global Surgical Conference and Expo. Whew, Tabitha, you are a busy, busy NPD practitioner with so much expertise. We are thrilled to have you join us today. And seriously, thank you for joining us.
Jen and Jillian, it is my pleasure. I'm so excited to be with you to talk about this very important and sombering topic today.
So Tabitha, in April, we had you on a vlog to introduce this topic. We had some initial reactions to the data, and we know that new nurse graduates are onboarding during this unprecedented time. Tell us more about what you and your organization specifically are doing to support the profession's newest nurses.
Yes, we've a lot of initiatives that we have at our facility here, and I think just continuing to add to those. As we onboard our new nurse residents, I think it's important to just recognize the amount, the tsunami, if you will, of stress that they're under as it relates to the pandemic. It's already a stressful time as they transition to practice, but I think the COVID pandemic has certainly heightened that stress level for our residents. So providing them resources and support is integral. One of the things that we actually here do is we have always included a well-being stress management course or topic or seminar, if you will. However, we found it important in the past year to distribute that across the curriculum, not just at one particular session, and then providing them with a wealth of resources. One of the things I'm currently working on now is kind of developing a repository, if you will, of resources for them. It could be reflections, books, excerpts, how to contact EAP, I think is very important. We saw in some of the literature that you and Jen highlighted earlier that there are some mental health issues that folks are dealing with. So I think knowing what the resources are, knowing that it's okay to access those resources and giving them those tools up front and having it permeating throughout the residency program is very, very important.
I'm curious, when did you notice a need to adjust your curriculum to put this well-being? Like, what is it that triggered that for you guys to recognize this need, your new clinicians?
Well, I think it was originally there as we are on the journey for PTAP accreditation with ANCC. One of the domains, which is the practice-based learning domain, actually calls for PBL 6, I believe it is that we do have a well-being initiative integrated throughout the program. So I think there's always kind of that environmental scan as to what's out there. But we also looked here and we started getting feedback from residents. And I think even with talking to various residency directors across the country, we've seen an increased need for that connection and that support. So I think constantly as one of our roles as an NPD practitioner is conducting that environmental scan, getting that information from a variety of resources, and that really helped to inform the need and substantiate to add to and beef up our well-being initiatives for our nurse residents.
I have to make a comment, Tabitha. I'm so pleased to hear that it was very purposeful to intertwine those topics throughout the entire residency experience, as opposed to, and I can speak for myself, I was a nurse resident almost 12 years ago now, and I remember more of a self-care well-being topic was a one and done. I recall meeting several times throughout the course of the year, and maybe one of those dates was dedicated to that topic versus having some really transparent and vulnerable conversation and providing resources throughout the entirety of that experience. So kudos to you and your team for being proactive and ensuring that those opportunities are constantly thread throughout their onboarding experience as a new grad.
Thank you. And I think you explained it beautifully. I think that's what we've heard from some of our residents even before the pandemic. Obviously, all of the curriculum is very important, but you can't cover everything in the first session. So kind of hearing that when we get to the self-care, if that's kind of in the middle or maybe even more towards the end, saying, oh, I needed some of this here. So when we can integrate it throughout, and I think about, you know, us as nurses, we're very caring individuals, but unfortunately, probably where we struggle is in caring for ourselves, and we always tend to put ourselves on the back burner. So, you know, obviously we make sure that we frame it for our nurse residents here in relation to the ANA Code of Ethics Provision 5, that we as nurses have the same duty to self, to care for ourselves as others, and to let them know that it's okay, because they certainly can't pour from an empty vessel.
I want to talk to you a second about something you had said on the vlog that I was amazed by, but it made sense. When you talked about these new nurse residents not going through the honeymoon phase, because we always talk about the honeymoon phase, right? Like, oh my God, I'm a nurse. I'm so happy to be here. And then reality shock hits you and you're like, oh my God, I'm a nurse. What am I doing here? And it seems like they're just kind of going from graduating right into the, oh my God, I'm a nurse. Like, what were your first impressions starting to hear this? And what were some of the things that started to go through your head of how we can try to, how important is that honeymoon phase, would you think, to a new nurse?
Right. I think it's important, and it'll be interesting, I think, to see over the coming months and years, you know, what the literature and the research shows us as far as the impact of COVID-19 on nurse residents, as well as nurses in general. But it was kind of, as Jillian mentioned earlier in the introduction, it was really kind of a visceral reaction. You know, a lot of them have described it as there was no honeymoon phase and that it was just kind of a numbness. And I think that was kind of the feeling that I got hearing that, kind of thinking back to my own days as a new grad and, you know, being excited and having that honeymoon phase. But I think, you know, bringing them together, allowing them to network, to share how they're feeling with each other, so they kind of get that validation. They know they're not alone, that others are feeling the same thing. And being able to talk about it is very helpful for them. But I think it's also encouraging, because as I tell all of our nurse residents and potential new nurse residents, you all are doing something that none of us have ever done before. You have gone through nursing school during a pandemic. You are transitioning to practice during a pandemic. And so to you, we take a bow. And to me, knowing that and knowing the resiliency of these individuals, the future of nursing is and can be brighter than ever.
Yeah, I think that acknowledgement is integral. Now I'd like to introduce our second guest, Katrina Kelly, who is the Senior Nursing Professional Development Specialist at the Metro Health System in Cleveland, Ohio. Her primary responsibilities include oversight in the implementation and content provided in the Department of Nursing's new hire onboarding of both licensed and unlicensed staff. She supports onboarding of pre-licensure nursing students and grad students and serves as the primary nurse planner for the approved provider unit and performs other related duties as assigned. That's one of our favorite taglines, right, as NPD practitioners. Katrina has a Bachelor of Science degree in nursing from Bowling Green State University. In 2013, she received her Master of Science in Nursing and Master in Health Administration from the University of Phoenix. She currently serves on the board of directors for 50 Shades of Purple Against Bullying and the Ohio Board of Nursing's Advisory Board on Nursing Education. Katrina is passionate about encouraging the spirit of the nurse, advocating for the profession of nursing, encouraging the continued professional development of nurses, and supporting the well-being of healthcare professionals, which makes her perfect to be here on this podcast with us. I would like to say, Katrina, if I may, that Katrina is graduating from our Leadership Academy this year, and that is one of the reasons why I reached out to her for this podcast, because as I was going through everyone's executive summaries, I came across Katrina's project that she did for the Leadership Academy. And Katrina did a project involving coaching. So I am not going to steal your thunder and explain that. I'm going to let you do that. Can you tell us a little bit more about the coaching initiative you've implemented at your organization? What was the purpose and what were your anticipated outcomes for that?
Right. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me. I feel really honored to be here with you all and to be discussing this sensitive topic, but very relevant topic of nursing well-being here. So again, thank you both and AMPD for allowing me to join you all. I will say that the Elevate Career Coaching for Nurses Best Practice Initiative really implemented, as a project for this Leadership Academy, but it was birthed out of experiences that I've had, that I've seen, and out of a need that I noted. And so with this opportunity, we have our nurses who may be at risk of leaving an organization. We have a unit in which there is an increased turnover that we really wanted to target. And the goal really is to facilitate ongoing professional development and career opportunities within the system, really to help help that nurse invest within the organization more. We also wanted to see if we highlighted and we helped the nurses identify their strengths as they completed their Clifton Strength Finders assessment, and also worked with an executive coach, what would that do in regards to decreasing turnover and also increasing nursing satisfaction and morale? So that was the purpose of the Elevate Career Coaching for Nurses, is really to just heighten the nurses' self-awareness, if you want to say, on their strengths, and give them a source of resiliency when they are feeling potentially burned out, exhausted, just stretched is a word that I like to use right now. And I think I might be denying myself of actually trying to use the word stressed. I think I'm trying to cover it up in my mind by using the word stretched. But in all honesty, you know, nurses, we're stressed, we're overwhelmed. And so what can we draw back on when we're feeling that way, when our buckets are empty? And that's what the purpose of this project was.
And tell me a little bit about the reception of this project. So you have been able to implement it. What has the nurses' response been to this? Are they recognizing what your eventual outcome is for them? Are they appreciating that? Have you noticed that stress that they have is going down, or at least being better managed?
So I will say, you know, the timing of the implementation of this project probably was not the best due to COVID. I will say that. And so who and how many participants we had anticipated for this first cohort was not big at all. It was a very small sample. But we are doing another one in the next few months. So from this small sample, I did notice that based on their feedback that the nurses were receptive to it. You know, it was a barrier as far as time commitment and just trying to stay on task with the many different demands that crept up, including childcare, hours with work, just the exhaustion and things like that. So it was a little difficult, but they all pushed through. But one thing that I did notice is that, you know, the nurses, when they were able to identify what their top five and top 10 strengths were, they were able to see it in action every day at work. And they were able to draw back on it and say, hey, you know, I know I'm gifted in this. So how can I use this strength to my advantage and pull it out during the work environment, and not even, you know, in a work environment, but also in their personal life? How can it help them persevere? And so that's one of the things that I noticed. And they felt like they were more empowered to lead in their strengths in every aspect, whether it was personal or professional, in the work environment, at the bedside, taking care of patients. They feel like they were better able to lead in that sense.
So I have a couple thoughts there.
Absolutely.
You mentioned your small sample size. And the first thing I want to say about that is, as nurses, when we're on the front line, I remember saying to myself over and over again, if I can just make a difference to one patient tonight, especially when I was in the ER, where it always feels like you're getting beat up, right? But you're like, if I can just make a difference in one person. Now, I think if that flips over the MPD practitioner, if you made a difference in just a sample size of one, that's huge. That's one frontline nurse who's going to pay that forward to their patients and their coworkers. So I think sample size, regardless, you ought to pat yourself on the back for that.
Thank you.
The second thing I want to talk about are those strengths, because part of what we do for the Leadership Academy is the strength scope, which is similar, I'd say, to Strength Finder. Mm-hmm. And it focuses on strength versus our weaknesses, because we spend so much time trying to fix our weaknesses, right? Mm-hmm. And we only can fix them so much. But when we capitalize on our strengths, we are just that much more powerful. So I just want to kind of congratulate you for thinking to capitalize on that versus mm-hmm. saying, let's think of all the things that are wrong with you and what can we fix?
Oh, thank you.
And looking at, hey, what are the things that you are amazing at and how can we make that shine? So I think that's incredible. Can you talk just a little bit about some other things? Because you didn't just do this project. You work as an NPD specialist at your hospital. Mm-hmm. What are some other things that you're doing to ensure the well-being of your nurses at your organization?
So I would say, it's a collaborative effort, in all honesty, across all disciplines, across all departments, but specifically to nursing, I think the most important thing is just increasing awareness, just letting people know like, hey, this is real, it's going on, and you're not exempt. So I think, as we've mentioned, nurses, we take care of people day in and day out. That's what we do. That's what our calling is. And we go forth, but we neglect ourselves in a sense. And so I really think that was another benefit, if you want to say, of this. And so throughout the organization, we've highlighted some of the things that we do, which include just being more mindful of, of all things mental health, being mindful of the state of the nurse right now, being more attentive, making sure that they have the resources that they need, giving them the tools to be successful. And when I say resources, not just in-house, such as employee assistance, and we also have our Department of Psychiatry is helping do resilience things. We have our fitness center who's also chiming in to help us be more active and find positive coping strategies. We've adapted and our organization purchased a license for us to have access to Headspace, which is an app to help with like meditation. So that's something that we have available to us. We just launched a new initiative on acknowledging caregiver well-being in the system, brand new. So I don't know enough about it, but I know it was just mentioned today. So I think really just as nursing professional development practitioners, I really think just increasing awareness. And to me, what I found so interesting about, when reviewing the assessment from the ANA, American Nurses Foundation surveys, it was interesting to know that many of the nurses identified being overwhelmed, being exhausted, anxiety, top three symptoms of burnout and mental health concern, if you want to say. But when you looked at the percentage of nurses who actually sought assistance, it was low. It was about 24%. And then when you looked at when you looked at why many nurses thought that, I should be able to handle it on my own, which I think begs another question is, as nursing professional development practitioners and just the profession of nursing, we really have to do better with really decreasing the stigma or really unpacking the stigma that may be associated with actually say, hey, I need some help. Something's not right. What do we have available here? How can I get help and make it into more of a positive thing, right? Because you don't want people to suffer in silence. And as we mentioned, and as some of our resources have shared, that it can negatively impact patient outcomes. And so it is very important that we tackle that. And we can't do it just by ourselves. I think we have to really engage other departments where that is their specialty, but also tapping into the what the nurse does on all levels, not just bedside nursing or nurses, but those who are also working in salary positions. The experience may be a little bit different because they're not exactly at the bedside, but still there is a level of exhaustion. There's a level of overwhelm. There's a little level of being stretched, if you want to say. So I think we really could do better with that.
Katrina, you mentioned a few things that put me back in. It made me reflect on an opportunity I had to co-present a webinar with Dr. Sharon Pappas, who is a nurse executive at Emory. ANPD provided this webinar entitled Clinician Wellbeing, What is Our Role? And I think it's worth circling back mm-hmm. to the catalyst for that conversation. And I really call that a conversation because that's where we have to start. And you mentioned creating awareness, and that's where each and every one of us as NPD practitioners in our respective practice settings have to start. One, we can unpack the data, but then we have to remove, as you said, that stigma associated with what could be seen as a taboo topic, but this is a very real, very raw, vulnerable, and potentially devastating topic to our profession, to patient outcomes. We need to protect and preserve the well-being of healthcare staff. So the article and reference I really want to surface here is the National Academy of Science, Engineering, and Medicine, so formerly known as NAM. They released a consensus study report in late 2019, so pre-pandemic, entitled Taking Action Against Clinician Burnout, a Systems Approach to Professional Well-Being. And in this report, there were six categories of recommendations that were made. And in this particular webinar, which is still available as a recording through ANPD's online store, free for members, what I was able to do was partner with Dr. Sharon Pappas and explore our NPD roles and responsibilities, aligning our practice model to those six recommendations. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I'm curious with your organization's latest initiative, it's like, ooh, is this their action step to address this really pivotal consensus study report? But it takes so much time to actually get something to a phase of implementation. But creating awareness and having these conversations, getting to know the current state of your staff that you support, mm-hmm. what are their needs, mm-hmm. And really tapping into resources that you have available, you have to leverage those in any way possible. So I think it's so exciting to have support to use an app like Headspace and to leverage your fitness center. So it's again, looking at so many different elements that promote well-being, that speak to your organization, speak to your staff on a very individualized level. So I think that's really exciting to hear what it is that your organization is doing. So thank you.
Okay. You guys are just doing such incredible things at your organizations. And we always like to tie our podcast conversation back to NPD implications and what we can do as NPD practitioners. What elements of clinician well-being and mental health stigma can we impact individually as NPD practitioners, but also as NPD departments? So what can we do? And Tabitha and Katrina, just your thoughts of things that apply to, you guys know our scope and standards, you know what our competencies are, you know what our responsibilities are. What are things that we can do within that scope of what we do as NPD practitioners to help allay some of these things that are going on in our organizations with clinician burnout and helping with well-being?
I would say some things that we could do, one is to serve as an advocate for it. Make sure that this is something that, you know, doesn't go away. So right now, you know, it's a hot topic. We're noticing this is an issue. You know, pre-COVID, I can't really say, you know, how much this information was valued. Now that we're in COVID and working our way through it, we really recognize the impact that this can have on just healthcare professionals in general. So I think one, we could serve as an advocate, serve as a change agent, get involved at the maybe legislative level, or get involved in professional nursing organizations, or just not even nursing. It can be nursing, but sometimes we may have to sit on another board outside of nursing to be able to have that impact and influence. You know, you want to be at the table and you want to bring that other perspective from the healthcare side and nursing. I think just being a facilitator and again, mapping out those connections and those content experts who can really contribute valuable information and tools and the most up-to-date evidence-based research and so that we can help support our nurses during this, not even just now, but even in the future, because I really hope that this does not go away. And I really hope that the energy surrounding nursing well-being and ensuring that it stays around forever, I just really hope that this is something that's continued and not, you know, once COVID is over, you know, we forget all about the importance of nursing well-being. So I think that is something that as nursing professional development practitioners that we can really highlight.
Katrina, I absolutely agree with you. I think the thing that I love most about the NPD practitioner model is just how relatable it is to what we do and kind of taking that nursing process and applying it to nursing professional development. But, you know, one of our roles is a partner for practice transitions and helping the new graduates as they transition to practice, especially during this time. But I'm like you, Katrina. I really hope that I think nurses, healthcare workers, a lot of times have been some unsung heroes at times. And the pandemic, while challenging, has also been a catalyst for a lot of things, technology and those types of things as well. And I hope that we keep the passion to take care of our nurses and make sure that we're supporting their well-being, because the more we take care of them, the better they're able to be able to take care of our patients and provide quality care. So I think that's definitely needs to be our focus. And, you know, making sure that we're constantly doing those environmental scans, those assessments, you know, what are their needs? Hearing from the learners, where are they struggling? Putting in programs as you described as far as coaching, I think those types of things are invaluable. And, you know, we always are encouraged to see our patients as a person as an individual. And I think doing that with our nurses as well and making sure that they feel valued.
Those are, wow, guys. Those are all just great recommendations for things that we can do as NPD practitioners and just kind of dealing with the issues. You're right. They're not going to go away. Nursing has never been easy. Back when Florence was doing it, right? It's never going to get easy. I truly believe there are not robots that can do our job. There's that compassion component that comes into it, which leads to things like compassion fatigue, which leads to clinician burnout. It's a hard job. And that mental health stigma, I think, you know, we got a lot of praise this year for being superheroes. But there's also the flip side to that. That's a lot of responsibility. And you feel as a superhero, just like when we watch all our superhero movies, there's that dark side of that blanket of responsibility weighing you down. And the fact that I can't ask for help, I'm the helper. So I think you guys make such great points about advocacy and what we can do as NPD practitioners to really bring this to light and to make it okay. And I would encourage any NPD practitioner out there, if you're having issues, be open about it and make it okay for people to talk about that. I mean, I sleep maybe four. I have problems getting to sleep. I have problems staying to sleep, and it's stress related usually. And yeah, I mean, I experience all those things as well, and I feel badly about it and don't want to talk about it. But now that you've said all this stuff, why don't I want to talk about it? Why don't I deserve to be healthy?
Absolutely. We have to help nurses just really put their self-care, make it a priority. And I really feel like, I mean, it's something that I'm learning too. I'm talking about it, but it is something that I'm learning to be more intentional about. And it's not just, you know, when we talk about self-care, it's not just, as a lady, I'm just going to talk about maybe some things ladies do all the time. You know, it's not just nails. It's not just hair. You know, it's deeper than that. You know, it's really checking in with yourself and seeing, hey, where am I? How am I doing? Do I need to sit down for a moment? Am I doing too much? Am I really stretched? Do I just need to take a quick breather? Do I need to take a walk? You know, I really think we have to be really, really aware and really come to one with ourselves to really understand what do we need to do at this moment? How are we doing? And if we're not on the right track, what do we need to do to help ourselves get on the right track? Whether that's either doing something different or breaking up the monotony of our week, our day, seeking appropriate resources, and really just, you know, if you are having a concern or if a friend or a coworker is having a bad day or you just notice a change in them, I think that's something else that we could educate our nurses about and make sure that they know if someone is not okay, how do you go about helping them to get the resources that they need? And if you don't feel comfortable, what is your chain of command? And my prayer is that, you know, as these things are starting to be developed, it cannot be punitive, because if it's ever punitive, you will not have people come forth. So it has to be genuine, out of concern for people, out of concern for your nurses, out of concern for the profession. It has to be genuine and coming from a good place. Nothing can be punitive. So I would really encourage organizations, not just in nursing, but just organizations in general who is taking care of their employees, their healthcare providers, to just really look at some of those things and maybe even look at some policies and procedures that we currently have in place that may be a little restrictive right now. And is there an opportunity for some flexibility on certain things, you know, to help people manage or to help people get through these trialing times?
And Katrina, I think to echo what you just said, also extending grace to everyone and just realizing that, if anything, I think the pandemic has highlighted that everyone's doing the best they can, and just kind of giving everyone a little bit of latitude and reaching out and how can I help you? What do you need? And taking care of not just our patients and our communities, but also each other.
But I love that you keep bringing it back to, it's not just nurses. Like, the healthcare profession is in crisis, and not because of just all our patients who are coming in sick. It's in crisis because of our people. And if you can't take care of your own, how do you take care of other people?
There's such power and realization too that it really starts with us, mm-hmm. and having self-awareness and checking in with ourselves, because we as NPD practitioners, we have to role model nursing practice in general to the staff that we support, the interprofessional teams that we support. And if something is there hindering us, we can't give our full self to the profession. We can't give our full self to our learners, to those that we need to support on a daily basis. So it's so multifactorial, and there's so many layers, but you have to start somewhere. And thankfully, ANPD does have a number of resources to support even your own, as NPD practitioners, our own well-being. And this whole saying of, you know, you can't pour from an empty cup, how much we give to others without giving back to ourselves, that resonates with anyone who works in healthcare today. And even for us as NPD practitioners, we may not be at the bedside day in and day out, but again, we cannot give our full selves to staff that we support if we're pouring from an empty cup. So I encourage you, if you haven't already, listeners, to check out the resilience webinar series that we have, that we were able to offer in partnership with Sigma. We also have NPD Cafe that was offered in the fall of 2020. And a little sneak peek of information, we will be providing an NPD Cafe experience in 2021 as well, with new, fresh, hot topics to fill your own professional cups. We also have a podcast on the coping mechanism, if you will, of journaling. And we also have a recording from our 2020 virtual convention on the same topic of journaling, presented by Amy Mora. So there are several resources embedded within the library of opportunities ANPD has to offer, but you need to identify what works, what could work best for you. Download an app like Headspace that Katrina mentioned. And by no means do we promote a specific app, but it's all about finding what works for you. You won't know until you try it. Katrina, Tabitha, thank you so much for joining us. Before we close out, I'm just curious, do you have anything else burning on the tip of your tongue that you'd like to share?
I just wanted to thank you all again for this opportunity and this experience to really highlight what nurses need and what we're going through. And I just hope that not only this, but, you know, future presentations, communications, anything like that really highlights, you know, the needs of the nurses and really focuses on giving them, you know, what they need to be successful in the great work that we do. Because truly, you know, what we do is serve people. You know, we serve people in probably their most vulnerable time periods, you know, and so we really do have to be at our best. and do frequent check-ins. So I just encourage that by the time this podcast comes out, that those who are listening really see what's available at your organization or how we can strive to improve to support our nurses' well-being.
Yes. And Jen and Jillian both, thank you so much for this opportunity. It's been a joy to spend this time with both of you as well as Katrina and talk about this very serious and important topic. But I think one that will hopefully catapult nursing again into the future in a positive light, and just a reminder for us to take care of each other. Look at those resources within your organization. Make sure that you check in on others, check in with yourself. And also reach out to your professional organizations and look at the resources that are out there, because there is a plethora of them, as I think a lot of us come together to support the nursing and healthcare community at large.
Well, thank you again, Tabitha and Katrina. Listeners, we have a number of resources that we will list and make available in our podcast discussion forum, specifically the survey data and articles that really catapulted this conversation. We will be sure to include references and links to those. Also, a link to the webinar that I mentioned earlier, the clinician well-being, what is our role? I'll be sure to link that in the discussion forum as well. The Institute for Healthcare Improvement, or IHI, also has a guide to supporting healthcare workers. And ANA also has a nurse suicide prevention resilience webpage as well, full of resources. Listeners, in addition to the references and resources that we've noted within our discussion forum, don't forget to look within what exists within your organization, as Katrina and Tabitha have encouraged you today. Please post comments, questions within our discussion board. And you can find this topic listed through www.anpd.org. Navigate to the Tools and Resources tab. There you will choose the discussion forum, and you will see this episode's topic listed. Don't forget, you can listen to our podcast series by subscribing to NPD Forecast on the ANPD website on the podcast page, but also from your favorite podcast platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
This NPD Forecast series analyzes information gathered through environmental scanning. Our goal at ANPD is to be your leading resource for NPD practice. If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star rating on your preferred podcast platform, as well as a review. And if you feel so inclined, share with your friends and colleagues on social media. Be sure to tag ANPD when you do. Those ratings and reviews help us grow this platform and extend our reach. As NPD practitioners, we know our strength is in our sense of community. So the more you share the NPD Forecast, the more valuable this environmental scanning resource will be. We would love to hear from you and encourage you to post podcast topic recommendations in the podcast discussion forum available on our website.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit our website at anpd.org.